How many of you remember when Jesus touched you? Say amen. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation 12. While you're turning there, Gary's been busy this week. And in fact, we've all been busy this week getting our packets out and already receiving word from some people that they're already receiving them and thankful to get them. We have a video that we put out last Sunday morning. Rick Warren got in the news this week, and he is probably the most influential man as far as what they would call Christianity, not just in America, but around the world. And at one time, you guys know my testimony, at one time I almost fell for this guy and was going to follow him, was going to take this church. And some of you are saying, oh, no, you weren't. I appreciate you standing against me on it because I was wrong in what I was doing. But anyway, he's trained hundreds of thousands of pastors and churches, maybe into the millions. People not even gone to his seminars, just following this man's, I say ministry, it's not really that. He has come out this week, and he's trying to deny it now. He's trying to back up a little bit. But he actually had, and listen to this now, he has a pastor in his church that is the director of interfaith outreach. And let me tell you what that is. That is a guy who is trying to make friends with lost people. Okay, and I say that not in a good way. I believe you ought to be, I think you ought to be a friend of sinners. Amen? But he's not leading them to Jesus. He's telling them that they are accepted the way they are. He's shrouding that, and probably if asked, he'll deny it. But that is precisely what he's doing, including him and a Muslim cleric getting along and getting together. And this concept that we all worship the same God is coming out of this movement. And I'm going to tell you something. I do not worship Allah. I do not pray to Allah. I don't face Mecca. I don't read the Quran. It doesn't bother me in the least bit. Somebody burnt one of those books. It doesn't bother me. It's going to perish. It's going to vanish away anyway. Okay? But anyway, we have a video, and Gary's put some out on the table called The Biblical Case Against Rick Warren. Okay? This man is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Okay? Plain and simple. And the doctrines that he is teaching are damnable heresies, according to the Scriptures. And that's what all I do is go through the Scriptures based upon what he said and what he's endorsing. And that's coming out. That's already been out. And then we got another one coming out on the Bible translation issue. And it'll be out on the website today, and we'll have it on DVD here shortly. Whenever we take a stand for the Lord and whenever we take a stand for the Bible, the devil is not going to like it. He will not like it, and he will come after us. So just mark it down, okay? Don't run. Don't try to hide. Okay, just stand your ground. The Bible says he will flee from you. He cannot handle someone who will take a stand. And this morning, I'm just going to share some things that God has laid on my heart. God helps me in studying and preparing for the messages and things to think about and pray about. And Gary had actually mentioned something earlier in the week that there was just a word that just caught my attention. And I began to ponder that and began to pray about it and began to think about it. And then I began to search the Scriptures. And when I was putting this sermon together, I had a direction that I wanted to go with it. And as I searched the Scriptures, God changed that direction. And so I'm just going to spend some time this morning just walking through and gleaning from the Word of God this morning. I don't have an agenda. I don't have an altar call in mind. I don't have anything like that. But if you were to be honest before the Lord this morning, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say amen. I'm just looking for you to be honest this morning. If you'd be honest before the Lord this morning, do you need some help from the Lord this morning? Okay, if you're to just be dead honest, do you need some help from the Lord? Do you personally need some help from the Lord? Are you in trouble of some kind? Are you troubled about something? Is there something going on in your home, in your marriage? Is there troubling things there in your marriage that need help? is and I'm going to get to some different areas of life, and you know how we do when we look at Scripture, let's just apply it to various parts of our life, and that is what we're going to do. But I want us to have some understanding this morning of why sometimes things go the way they go, and they don't always go our way. Amen? You don't always get your way. In fact, you probably sitting there, I never get my way. Good for you. That's where God likes you. Amen? God likes it when you don't get your way most of the time. That's what he's, now you're somebody he can use. Amen? Is it be my way or no way? Now I want us to understand just the depths of what's going on in our life. Revelation chapter 12, are you there? Say amen. Amen. Who in here believes the Bible? Amen. You really should. Okay, you really should. When the Bible is in contradiction to what you hear in the world, don't listen to the world, listen to the Word of God. It'll help you. Revelation chapter 12. Let's start reading in verse 1 and we'll move our way down so you get the context of where I'm going with this thing. All right, we're going to go to verse 15. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. I want you to think of the Bible typology language of a woman. Okay? She represents, she represents in the Bible a church. She represents the kingdom of heaven. She is heavenly Jerusalem, Jerusalem which is above, and so on. But she'll represent a church. I don't know if you noticed this last week or not. When I was preaching about wisdom hath built her house, she had carved out her seven pillars. Bible refers to wisdom as a her, as a female. And if you look in the book of Proverbs, you'll see her all through the scriptures. Now that has given rise to some false doctrine that people are saying, well, God is a woman too. God's a man, but God also is a woman too. Be careful of that doctrine. Do not fall for that doctrine. Don't fall for it. God is not a woman. He never has been a woman. When we get to heaven, we're not going to see God sitting up there in a dress and a pair of high heels and a purse in his hand. Amen. Okay? That wisdom is a woman is always representative of the kingdom of heaven or in the earthly realm, a church. I think a church ought to have wisdom. Amen. I think it ought to impart wisdom. And by the way, this woman, in Revelation 12, she got the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. 12 is the number of God's promise. Now I want you to notice in verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. I want you to think about, let's say, a family where the woman is about ready to give birth. And when a woman is about ready to give birth, those are not the joyous times of the marriage. Everybody say amen. That's some rough seas, okay? It's only after the child is born that the joy comes in, and you're glad of that. And so, but I want you to think about birthing. As far as a church is concerned, I believe that churches are birthing stations. I believe the church itself is a woman, and I believe that we're to produce converts for the Lord Jesus Christ. People being saved is that child being born. Now, I know there's many different realms of this, and I'm just applying one scripturally. But when someone is born into the kingdom of someone is born again, that's the result of the evangelistic efforts and the preaching of the gospel of the local congregation. How many of you are with me on that? Say amen. So I think it's our responsibility to preach the gospel, to teach people about Jesus, teach people about the doctrines, and sow that seed of the Word of God so that there can be birthing taking place. Now, how many of you remember when you first got saved? The devil did not like it. He did not like it. Now I'm going to show you this. So she's travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. In verse 3, there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great what? Red dragon. Does anybody know why he's red? Listen to this now. Red is in opposition to the color white in the Bible. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In Revelation chapter 17, we have a woman who is riding a scarlet-colored beast. That beast is the man of sin, okay? And she is clothed in scarlet, okay? She is clothed, you know what she is? She's the woman of sin. That is in direct opposition to the church being clothed, not in scarlet, but in what? clothed in white. That means purity. That means being sanctified. So anyway, behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, seven crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. Watch this now, which was ready to be delivered. Watch what the great red dragon's going to try to do. As soon as you got saved, he tried to devour you. And he's red. That means the full impact of sinfulness was targeted at you for getting saved. Look at this. She brought. He was ready for to devour her child as soon as it was born. You see, he had you already in sin. But when you got born again, that's when he really turned on you and tried to go after you, and he's still doing it. How many of you know that? Say amen. He's still doing it. As long as a church will be a birthing station for the Lord, as long as a church will be evangelistic, as long as a church, or let's say a family that represents the Lord, as long as they will keep preaching and standing for the Word of God and doing what's right, they will always have an enemy trying to devour and trying to destroy. Now look in verse 6. And the woman, now let's look at verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up into God and to his throne. That phrase caught up is the exact same words used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Somebody say amen to that. That means the devil, he tried to get us. But God wouldn't let him. We were caught up. So now verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now I want us to skip over to, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I could preach on that this morning. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon, I want you to notice this now, and I want you to pay close attention now at verse 13, 14, and 15. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now, all throughout the church age, all throughout the time, even before the church, back in the Old Testament, God's people have always been persecuted. Now, we live in a country right now that, As of right now, 11:30 Central Time, we can still preach the gospel in this country without having our head shot off. I'm hearing that there is somebody said that he's already dead, but somebody else came out and said, no, he's still alive. They're having everybody pray for this pastor that's in Iran, a Christian pastor in Iran that has been on trial and he's been sentenced to death for preaching the gospel in Iran. It is against the law to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the nation of Iran. And he decided to do it anyway, and they've got him in prison. They've found him guilty of heresy against Islam, and more than likely they're going to hang this guy for preaching the gospel. That's persecution. And mark it down. Mark it down. It may come to that here in this country. I've been watching this up in Canada. There's one of the provinces up in Canada passed a law. Listen to this now. Passed a law, or is trying to pass a law, that says even if you homeschool your children, it will be against the law for you to teach them that alternative lifestyles are a sin. Already. That's just one step closer to them walking in this church and monitoring what we're saying. And if we say the wrong thing, we'll be arrested for it. Okay? Now, just hang on, because this is where we're headed. Okay? You just hang on, because this is where we're headed. And I want to get mean with that, and God's kind of pulling the chain back, so I'm going to. But if you stand for the Lord, and you stand for people being saved, and you stand for the Bible, and you stand for the blood, and if you stand for marriage, And if you stand for raising children unto the Lord, and if you stand, you take a stand on issues in your life, the devil will persecute you. And no, the United Nations troops are not going to come kick your door in and arrest you and have you shot. Maybe that's what some of you would like to happen anyway. The persecution is going to be a lot more closer and personal to you than what you think. He will come after you. And he will come after you where it's going to hurt you the most. Now you listen to this preacher. He's not going to target your strength. He is going to target your weakness. So this morning, you just start getting ready to feel a little bit uncomfortable this morning. Okay? You just get ready to start feeling a little bit uncomfortable this morning. Because we're gonna look at how he's going to go after you. Okay? And I want to show you how he's going to do it. He's going to persecute the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she may fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now, I want you to look at verse 15. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now, I just pondered that this week, and I've just had that in my mind this week. Gary likes to run in my office every now and then with his Bible in his hand. He's got his finger on a verse, and he'll read it to me, and he'll start talking. He gets excited, and he can't talk, and it's just kind of neat to see what God's showing him. But he mentioned something this week, and that just hit me in my mind. I believe in prophecy, and I believe this Bible's right concerning the future, but we're living today, and I'm telling you right now, the devil has opened his mouth, and he has cast out of his mouth water against you to try to cause you to be carried away. He does not want you. Think of anybody ever tried to cross a creek that had a lot of water running down it. You ever tried to cross one of those? You get about halfway, what happens? There you go. You know what you're doing? You're not standing anymore. And the devil will do anything in the world to get you, to keep you from standing. Standing is something he cannot handle, a Christian who'll just stand their ground and say, you know what, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. He cannot handle that. He cannot handle, say, I believe in salvation by grace through faith and not by works, and I'm not backing down from that. And he cannot handle someone who is standing. I believe that marriage is to be between a man and woman. Cannot handle that. I believe that intercourse ought to be between a married man and a married woman to each other. Amen? That's what we stand for. Okay? But he's gonna try to flood now. He's gonna try to flood your personal life. He's gonna try to flood your home. He's gonna try to flood our churches. He's already flooded our country. This country is not standing right now. We're falling. Get ready. It's not the same America that Opie Taylor grew up in. It's not the same America, people. It's a different world that we're living in right now because of the flood. And I'm going to kind of preach on those things in a little bit. All right, so just bear with me. I don't know if I'm going to get through all this or not, so I'm just going to start down the row and start moving on. By the way, do you believe the Bible? Say amen. I mean, this is prophecy, and this Bible says it's going to happen. Now, I want you to watch this. Now, I want to show you something real neat, okay? So he put out, verse 15, he cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Verse 16, by the way, how many of you believe in a universal flood that flooded every speck of dry land in this whole world? How many of you believe in that? Raise your hand. You need to. Now I'm going to tell you why. Did you ever ask yourself, well, you know, we know the water came up from the depths of the earth and water came down from the sky and all this and that and the other. But did you ever ask yourself, what happened to the water once it got there? What happened to the water? Where did it go? Anybody know? Did the government come in and scoop it all up and put it on the moon somewhere? I'm going to show you from the Bible what happened. Look at verse 16. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Guess where the water went? It went. The earth opened its mouth, and the water went down inside the earth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to just mark this down. In case you're sitting here or you're watching today, And to you, the Bible is a good book, and it's got some good things in it, but you don't believe everything that it says. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you this morning and admonish you and correct you. If this Bible's not right about the past, don't count on it being right about the future. If there was not a universal flood that covered every square inch of dry ground on this whole planet, then this Bible is not right concerning the flood that is coming. And how then can it be right concerning the flood that is flooding your life right now? By the way, did God save people when the flood came? So think of, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. God knows how to save even when the flood comes. Can I get an amen out of somebody? And listen, if you just believe the scripture, believe what it says. Quit relying upon what Dr. So-and-so said. I heard him on the History Channel that geologists have concluded that the flood was limited to an area around the Ukraine and the Black Sea. Don't believe that garbage. Don't believe it. Believe what the Bible says, all right? So anyway, that's what happened. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up all that water and helped the woman. So I just thought I'd throw that in there, okay? Now I want you to listen to this. I want to tell you where I'm going with this, all right? Think about issues right now in your personal life where the devil is trying to get at you for being saved. Okay? He's trying to get after you for being saved. He's going to punish you for being saved. And he's going to try to cause you to be carried away by the flood that he is sending forth. How many of you follow where I'm going so far? He's going to try to knock you down and bring you down so that you can't stand against him anymore. Think about, let's say, issues in your marriage. And everybody's got them. Everybody do this. Be that little chihuahua on the back of people's cars. Okay? You've got them. So think about your home and the floods that have come in your home. Think about churches and the floods that have come in to try to sweep churches away. Think of our nation. Has there been a flood that has swept our nation away? Did you know in one place the Bible talks about how the floods have swept away the foundations? The foundations of America have been swept away. You know what the foundations of America was? People just believed the book. They just started believing the Bible. Okay? That was the flood of it. Let me just kind of help you where I'm going with this. I'm going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 47, verse 2. I'm going to read this real fast. And you pray for me. I don't think there's no way in the world I'm going to get through all this today. And I don't know what to do about it. But I just want to try to help you with some good principles, all right? So this may be episode 1, and next week may be episode 2. Jeremiah chapter 47, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north, and shall be an overflowing flood, and shall overflow the land, and all that is therein in the city. Let me tell you about the north in the Bible. I love the language of the Bible. The north always indicates a spiritual place, okay? If you read Ezekiel chapter 1, in fact, you know what? I would just feel better. Can I come down there? No, I mean, can I come down there and sit down? No, I'm just kidding. Okay? I just feel like coming down here. I just don't feel like being high and lifted up this morning. Amen? Let me tell you about the north in the Bible so you'll understand where this is coming from. The north is an area that indicates the spiritual realm. In Ezekiel chapter 1, the Bible said that Ezekiel was looking toward the north, and he saw the cherubs of God, and he saw the sea, the firmament, and he saw the throne of God, and it was coming up out of the north. The Bible all throughout the Old Testament will talk about, especially in the book of Jeremiah, where God is promising that there's going to be an invasion that's going to come down from the north. Now, I believe an invasion is coming upon America, but I don't think it's the Canadians. Amen? Unless it's at the hockey game or something like that. I don't think the Canadians are going to come and get us. I'm not too worried about them right now, all right? Sorry for you Canadians, okay? But anyway, I just don't think that. I think there is an invasion coming from the North Country, and I think that indicates the spiritual land that they're coming from. Okay? There is, in the stars of heaven, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. There is the North Star, and then there is a series of stars that surround it called Draco. You know what that means? It's the dragon. And he's always there on the north. He's on the sides of the north, and that's where he wants to reign from. He said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's where he said he was coming from. Now, this is real interesting. I've taught this before, but I like this. In the tabernacle, you walk in the tabernacle, and on the left-hand side, as you walk in, this was south, and here you had the menorah. You had the seven candlesticks, which was the light. Okay, remember that, the seven pillars of wisdom and all that stuff. That's what that has to do with. But on the north side was a table. I like this. Okay, on the north side was a table, and every day it had 12 hot, fresh-baked loaves of bread. I like hot, fresh-baked anything. Amen? Hot, fresh-baked cookies, cakes, you name it, but hot, 12 fresh loaves of bread. And they was to be set out there every day, and that represented Jesus, the bread of life, and all this stuff. And it was a table, and it, watch this now, and it was set on the north side. Psalm 23 said, thou preparest a table before me, where? Right in the presence of my enemies. Your enemies hate the fact that you're getting to sit at the table of God and eating that fresh-baked bread. And they hate that, and they are going to come against you, and they're going to slide in out of the north. Let me move on. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 18. Let me get my scriptures out here. According to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will pay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. Listen to this now. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the enemies of God and the enemies of you, and the enemies of you, and the enemies of your family, the enemies of your marriage, the enemies of your children, the enemies of our faith and everything like that, they're going to come against us as a flood. And I want you to think about it. A flood is not just a trickle of water somewhere. Floods are usually rapidly rising. You've heard stories about, you know, rivers going, you know, massive amounts of rain overnight. And I remember several years ago, there was a campground in Missouri that was overtaken in the middle of the night, and people drowned because there was so much rain that night. The water rose so fast that it just overtook that campground, and people literally died in their sleep because they had no warning that it was coming whatsoever. Floods of water. How many of you remember Tom Salk Reservoir? We woke up one morning, and that reservoir had busted open, and all of that water came, and it just carved its way down the land. And anything standing in its path was swept away. You cannot stand against the flood, by the way. You cannot. That's the purpose of the devil sending this stuff your way. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 6. Let not the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They shall stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up and cover the earth, and I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Well, you know what? The city is your soul. The city is your soul and the dwelling place of God. The city is your home. It's your family. Your family is a city of God. This church represents a city of God. God lives here. God dwells here. He reigns here. And we're all God's happy subjects in the house of God. Can I hear you say amen? That's what this represents. And Egypt is going to rise up. Egypt always represents the things of the world. Represents worldly lifestyles and worldly habits and sinful habits and everything like that. And those things will come in as a flood, and the devil is going to open his mouth, the dragon's going to open his mouth and release this stuff out after you to try to destroy you, to try to destroy your name, to try to destroy your credibility. Here you are, you're going out trying to witness to everybody, trying to hand out tracts, and you're giving out videos or DVDs. Those of you watching on the internet, you're sending out emails and you're sending it off to people, and the devil comes after you to try to destroy you as a flood. Let me give you a real life illustration of this, and it's a prayer request that God just brought to my mind. Something that happened to somebody that I know. His name was Glenn. Glenn lived out in North Carolina. Glenn got in contact with me, I don't remember how long ago it was, But he would always call me and he would encourage me. Brother, I'm praying for you, brother. Brother, I love you, brother Mike. Man, I'm with you. Keep doing what you're doing. And every time he would call and encourage me. And I would encourage him back right. Glenn, keep standing for the Lord now. Get your life right. And every time we'd call each other, we'd just encourage one another in the Lord. Never met the man in my life. And then it went for a while. I wasn't hearing from him, Jared. I thought, well, I wonder what happened to him. Kind of miss it. His brother called me. And he said, is this Pastor Mike? And I said, yeah. And he said, I'm Glenn's brother. And I said, yeah, I remember you. He said, I need to tell you something. I said, what? He said, Glenn's daughter wanted me to call you. And he said, she said, have you talked to Pastor Mike? No, none of these people have ever met me, but they're part of this. Okay? And he said, Glenn's in jail. And I said, what? He said, yeah, the FBI raided his house. They said he'd got into prescription drugs. And they said they found thousands of them in his house. And he said it just went out of his mind. He said he's robbed 3 banks that they know of. They had actually had a picture of him on the news, you know, local news. And they said he's just, and I asked specifically, can I mention this? And they said, yeah, it's all over the news, you know, so yeah, go ahead. And they said, he admits that that's his picture. But he said he's been so out of his mind, he doesn't remember that he's done this. He said, now that he's been in jail, they put him in sort of like a medical ward to get him off all these prescriptions and things that he said, thousands of them that he had. And they said there was bottles of wine and this and that. You just don't mix that stuff. And so they said they got him pretty much dead to rights. And then the Secret Service got involved because they were going through his, you know, computer stuff, and they found pictures of Obama with a target on his head, and Obama's fixing to go to that area, and they just was checking it out in advance to make sure, you know. And I just sat there with my mouth open like this. And I said, well, here's what I want you. I said, you're going to see Glenn? He said, yeah. I said, I want you to tell him I love him. And I said, tell him that if they've got him, own up to it. Don't fight it. Own up to it. And whatever, God will be with you. I said, now if they're trying to get him for something he didn't do, tell him stand his ground. And they said, you know, he is better and he's kind of lucid and everything. He's kind of back to the old guy. And I said, tell him that I'm still his friend. And your friend, when you're real friends with somebody, you don't turn the back on them, no care how far off they get. And I'm hear you say amen to that. Because one of these days, you're going to need it. One of these days, I might need it. Okay? We don't turn our backs on one another. You see, what happened was, here's a man that was trying to stand for the Bible. And the devil opened his mouth to cause him to be carried away. Here's a man that was passing out DVDs and all this stuff, and look what happened to him. The devil now has ruined this man's testimony to a lost world. It worked. Can he be saved? Absolutely. And I hope to see him in heaven one of these days. Okay? The new Glenn, not the old one. But I'm just saying to you, that's how he works. He'll go against you. He'll try to, you say you stand, how many of you, right now, raise your hand, I'm against sodomite marriage in this country. Raise your hand. Then the devil will go after your marriage to make it look like a joke. You say, you're standing against what now? You see how it works? Let me just get into some notes that I made. What I did was I started going through the scriptures, and I put the scriptures up here, and then I started looking at the scriptures and let the scriptures tell me what areas of life this applies to. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Amos, if you would. Book of Amos, chapter 8. And I may only be able to preach on a couple of these. So number one, just make it simple. Number one, stand for the Lord. Number two, if you stand for the Lord, you're going to try to reach out to people and people be saved. Number three, if you do those things, The devil will come at you with a flood. He will try to carry you away. He will open his mouth, and there will just be a flood of your enemies that are rising up against you. Does everybody understand that so far? Okay, so I'm trying to make it simple. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of struggled with Sunday school a little bit and got an email saying, man, that was great. That was right for me. But I'm going to tell you, it was a struggle. Sometimes my mind just won't, I just don't feel very smart. Okay? And it's just kind of hard to explain, but I guess that's probably the best way I should preach anyways. Not just preach, let God have his wisdom come out of my mouth. Somebody say amen. And some of you are going, well, Pastor Mike, that's what I hear anyway, you know, when you talk. So, duh, duh, duh. You quit laughing at that, all right? Amos chapter 8, verse 8. You believe the Bible, say amen. Amen. Shall not the land tremble? This is verse 8, Amos 8, 8. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood. I just started looking for floods and the promises and the warnings of floods in the Bible. I just love the King James Bible. It just makes your study for a sermon so easy. The only way to get a sermon easier is download it from Rick Warren. Okay, but he'll charge you for it. I don't know if you know that, and he charges for it. This is free. And it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. There's that flood of Egypt again. See, God's connected them together. It's your enemies coming against you. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. Now look at verse 10. And I will turn your feasts into mourning. A feast, watch this now, a feast represents having plenty. Think of Thanksgiving. Amen? Thanksgiving, there's always more food, and we turn it into a contest, Joe. Who can clean all that off by the end of the day? Because when you have Thanksgiving, you don't just eat one meal. You eat that meal, go sit down for a while, get back up, get another plate, get some more. Okay? A feast represents plenty. A famine represents you don't have it anymore. You don't have that. It's gone. Your feast turned into mourning and your songs into lamentation. And I will bring sackcloth upon all loins. Sackcloth is not fine linen. Sackcloth is, you don't have enough money to buy decent clothes. You don't have enough money to buy this and buy that. You've heard old timers talking about how they just sewed and stitched old things together just to have something to wear. You know why? Because they didn't have money to go out to, I almost said Famous Bar. They've been out of business for years. Huh? Macy's? Thank you. Ask her how she knows where to go. I'll bring sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. See, it's a curse. Amen? Just kidding. Okay. And I will make it as the morning of an only son, and the end thereof is a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. Look at this, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread nor of thirst, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And I'm going to connect all this together. And this would be number one, and I'm just kind of minding the clock here. I would stand here and teach this all day long, and let's just have all day long church. And it probably wouldn't hurt us. Amen. Probably wouldn't hurt us to spend a whole day in the house of God learning from the Bible. Okay, but we're not prepared for it today, so I'm going to let you out here in a little bit. But I want you to listen to this now, and I want to tell you some way the devil will knock your feet out from underneath you and destroy your witness and destroy your ability to lead souls to Jesus Christ. And it will be in the area of your finances or the things that you have. Now, I believe in Bible Christians, we ought not be materialistic. Amen? We ought not be striving for silver and gold. We ought not be working for this and trying to get rich quick and hoarding and this and that and the other, or just having a lust for the next new thing that's coming out, whether it's gold, silver, electronics, or this and that and the other. But you have to admit, that's how most of America lives. And the truth of it is, and I'm not trying to beat anybody over the head, this is how the devil will affect us, and this is how he will destroy us. Let me just put it on the realm of churches right now, and I want to tell you what's happened, okay? These churches, long time ago, started walking away from the Word of God. So what happened was, God sent a hot rod preacher in. The old preacher went away, or he died off, or he retired, or he just moved on, and they got him a new preacher in. And I'm still hearing this all over the place, Gary, from people saying, we got us a new pastor in, and our church is not fit to go to anymore. Okay? But here's what happened. The new preacher comes in. God sent that guy in there as a curse to that church. And he sent that guy in there. And here's what Rick Warren, I mean, he says it. He delineates it in his books and his teachings. This is what you got to do, Jim. If you're going to have this big hip-hop church and have 1,000 people sitting in your congregation, here's what you got to do. You got to change all the hymn books, get them out of there. You got to change all the Bibles, get Bibles so everybody can understand what's, you know, there. In fact, just put them up on the screen and nobody will have the disadvantage of carrying a Bible, lugging a Bible all the way to the house of God. And you do all that stuff. And then here's what you start talking big to them. You start talking about big dreams and big plans. Now we're going to change this county, change this city for the Lord. We're going to save everybody here. But we got to. Everybody knows this building is old, it's decaying, and you know it's got this cross up here, and we don't like that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to change everything. We need a new building. Need a new building. In fact, if we just had a new building that actually didn't look like a church, we would get massive amounts of people in. There'd be people swarming in. And by and large, and with some of these guys, it works. But here the devil now is leading that church into a trap. Because that church does not have the money that this pastor is throwing out there that they're going to need to build this new building. And he will get that pastor, with that congregation's approval, will tie that church into a $5 to $10 million debt. And say, now we got the land, we need to buy the land, oh, we got to do this, and need to raise all this money and do all this. And he's going to have everybody in the church sign bonds and lock them into a $5 to $10 million debt. And try to get this new hip-hop building there with the coffee machines and everything like that. So everybody's cool now going to the nice, cool church, the ones that we drive by and say, boy, I wish our church looked like that. I don't anymore. Yeah. I want nothing to do. I used to lust after that stuff. And the book of Proverbs said, lust not after her beauty. Yeah. Yeah. I don't lust after that stuff anymore. They can have it. Because I know what kind of debt they're in. But all of a sudden, now watch this now. The church runs into problems. It runs into problems. People leave the church. Tithing goes down. Now the church has got financial problems and they cannot pay the debt. You know what the church put up as collateral on the new church? The old church. And they've been swept away now. The dragon opened its mouth of financial distress and swept away that church. And now, listen, that church has got creditors all over town and does not have a solid witness of the Lord Jesus Christ anywhere that it's doing business. And neither do you. When you go out and get in debt and get in debt and get in debt and get in debt, boy, I'd like to have that. Put the credit card out. Don't pay the bill at the end of the month. It's not a sin to have credit cards. It's not a sin to have credit cards. Pay the bill. Credit cards, sign this paper here, you can have it 90 days, and then it'll take 5 years and 6 years. You ever notice the price of a vehicle has gone up, but now they've extended the time of the loan. Used to be you could get a 3-year loan on a car. Who in here gets it? You don't get a 3-year loan, you get a 6 to 7 year loan on a car. It was, well, that keeps the payments down. If you can pay it off for the next 7 years. Again, I'm not trying to be mean to everybody. But I'm telling you that you're losing your credibility as a witness, as a Bible believer, and everything else when you've socked yourself into so much debt and you can't get out of it. You're losing it. And I'm going to preach on other things next week, so just get ready. But he will send in, and he's talking about, instead of a feast, now we're in the mourning and lamentation. Instead of having nice clothes, we got sackcloth. Instead of there be a feast, now there's a famine. And now we don't have anything. And the devil sent that in, opened his mouth, and flooded you with financial distress. Let me ask you a question. What is it that will cause personal distress on somebody more than just about anything? It's the fact that they can't pay their bills. And they're out of money and they don't know what they're going to do. What will cause problems in a marriage? What is one of the chief things that will cause problems in a marriage? Can't pay the bills. We don't have any money. Can't do it. Can't do it. And the devil, listen to this now, he will absolutely, who in here, in fact, I'm going to ask you, You know somebody, or maybe you have been divorced over financial issues. Okay? It happens. And when the divorce happens, so does the credibility even in your children's eyes. They see you sitting in church saying amen and praise God, and your children are seeing you tithe, put money in the plate, and then they're seeing the financial distress that's happened to you, and they've heard on TV that, well, all you got to do is tithe and God will make you rich, and it's not working out, and it's going to cause them to doubt and disbelieve the Bible. Now, I'm not making this stuff up, people. This is reality. This is reality. And the flood of debt and the flood of financial worry and the flood of financial distresses and the flood of where it used to be feast and now we don't have anything. And I want to tell you something. Somebody that's not really solid in the Lord Jesus Christ, that will carry them away. It will carry them away. Our grandfathers, Jared, they knew financial hard times. We don't. Mine and Jared's generation, we don't. We think we do. But we don't know it the way they knew it. And when they didn't have anything else, they just stuck with the old Bible. They just stuck with the Word. By the way, let me just give this to you. How is it that Noah got saved when the flood came? He got in the ark. God's always got an ark of safety for you if you'll get in it. If you'll get in it. But if not, the flood will carry you away. Am I preaching to you this morning? Okay? And I am not one that'll, and somebody might question my motive. Oh, he's preaching money now. He's wanting more money in the church. You guys know me and know how I am. That's not it. I'm concerned about you and your personal reputation and your marriage, and I'm concerned about your welfare and how things turn out, and I know for a fact that financial things will bring you down quicker than just about anything. Can I hear an amen out of somebody? Okay? And so I'm gonna release you now, and I want you to ponder what has been brought forth so far. I've got several other things, and I promise you they're going to be from the Bible. So all of you who've got all your bills paid and everything's all ship-shape and you got a little money in the bank and you're going, yeah, amen, amen. Next week, I got yours, all right? So all you people that owe credit card bills, you can sit there next Sunday and go, amen, amen. Now listen, not everybody's the same. There are some people in this church, and I love you. Okay, you're so tight, when your eye blinks, your knuckles crack. Okay? That could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. Okay? And listen, I know some of you too. I know some of you. Okay? Money goes out quick, but some of you, I know where it goes. It goes, you're just giving it to other people. Here, take this. That in itself is not a bad thing. Having a giving heart to people. Okay? But when it comes to either hoarding money or when it comes to spending money that you don't have just to fulfill the lust of your eyes, you deserve the flood. You had it coming. And the devil thought, I got them now. They're weak. I know where their weakness is. And I think if I just flood them with debt, I'll get them. And inevitably, I don't know why it works out this way, but inevitably when people are having financial problems, they quit coming to church. Just quit coming to church. They just give up and walk out and you don't see them again for a long time. Well, it happened. Well, they got into financial problems. Listen, if you're having that kind of deal and the devil's flooding you, here's the ark. Get it. Stay in the ark. Amen? Because when it gets bad out in the world, I love it. What is it that destroys the sinner and saves the righteous? The flood. You think about it. And by the way, this famine that's coming is a famine from hearing the words of God. The devil has successfully swept away with a flood the foundation of the Bible in most areas in this country and in this world. Don't let him do it to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, dear God, for Lord, just I'm hoping, dear God, that I'm preaching this right. And Lord, I don't want to do anything malicious. I don't want to do anything, but Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. God, there are just some really good principles that you have helped me with and still help me with, Lord, over the years. And Lord, I have not attained to perfection. I'm far, far, far away from it. But Lord, as I examine the scriptures and I see, Lord, what the meanings of things are, I see things in my own life. And Lord, because I've been pastor of these people for so many years, Lord, I just know things about them. And I'm not using this against them. God, I'm using this to help them. And I just know, dear God, there's some people, Lord, that maybe sitting here or maybe watching, Lord, out there, the devil has opened his mouth and has just flooded them with debt. Flooded them with financial misery. Flooded them with this and that and the other, Lord. And it's killing them. It's going to kill their marriage. It's going to hurt their testimony. And I'm just praying, dear God, Lord, that in the midst of the flood, or when they can see the flood coming, God, that you would do what you did with Noah and did with his family. Because God, you are in saving families. Lord, you saved Noah and his family. And Lord, save these people this morning so the devil doesn't sweep them away. Thank you for the good word, Lord, that you shared with us, God, and help us, Lord. And Lord, Father, if we've sinned, Lord, forgive us. And we repent before you this morning, God. Forgive our sins. Help us to live right. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you,
And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God used to, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.